Do not adjust your MP3 player. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. You can find out more at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no e's.com.
Hi, my name's Trevor.
My name's Liz.
And we are going to be hosting a new show called The Witching Hour, starting on December 6th at midnight, which is The Witching Hour.
And we're going to be introducing special guests, controversial topics, some good pagan music, and a host of other things.
So make sure you tune in December the 6th at midnight.
We'll see you on The Witching Hour.
Yes, it's come around again. It's Friday already, and here we are. And I tell you what, I've got a funny taste in my mouth tonight. I'm a bit of a soap fan, you see, and I've been watching Coronation Street, as I'm sure many of you here in the UK have. And, yeah, Jamie's been getting it on with his stepmother. And that's not nice, is it? No. Oh, I wished I hadn't seen that. I really do. It's Jamie and his stepmother. Deary me, whatever next. Now, a rather strange Now That's Weird tonight. You might think that's impossible because it's strange every week. But no, it is. We've been on air now for over a year doing this programme, and it's grown and grown and grown. It's been very, very successful. But this is the first time since I first went on air that Penny has not been sitting next to me here in the studio. All say ah. One, two, three. Ah. Yes, I've sent her away for a break. I had a few days away last week, and one of us has to be here to run everything, so we had to take our break separately. So she's up with Mike and Helen, our friends in Chepstow. So good evening to Mike, good evening to Helen, thank you for looking after her for me, and good evening to my prize package, Penny. Hello, darling, I love you lots. And I'm missing you. So me and Lulu doing the show on our own tonight, and if you've not listened to the show before, Lulu's the cat. She usually gets a word in at some point through the programme, so rather than hide her, we introduce her to you. Tonight, she's been fed, she's been watered, and she's curled up on Penny's chair behaving herself, and I'm sure that won't last. You know better than that, don't you? Now, Kath has told me that Henry might be paying us a visit tonight. Now, my regular listeners will know Henry is Kath's spirit guide over there in Pennsylvania, in Gettysburg, and the last time he came over, he blew a bugle live on the programme, which my listeners heard. And I can assure you there was no fix. We didn't expect it. We knew that Kath had told us it was going to happen, but we certainly didn't know that it actually was. We thought, yeah, okay, right. And apparently he may be over this evening interfering. So if you hear any strange sounds whilst we're doing the programme tonight, it could well be Henry. Let me know the usual email address, studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. That's studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. Now, just heard from Elizabeth, and she's not very well. She's had to go to bed early this evening. She's feeling pretty poorly, so we've got a gap in the second hour of the programme this evening. So if you've got anything at all you'd like to talk about, get me emails in now, and we'll discuss them with you. And if you want to put a phone number in there, I'll give you a call between 10 and 11, and we'll put you live on air. So it's 0871 871 3666, the number, or email me studio@nettalkradio.co.uk and we'll call you in the second hour of the programme. In the third hour tonight, we're going to be talking to Nita Grant, an old friend of the show. Last time she was on, she was talking about having sex with aliens, so always colourful. Tonight, it's poltergeists and the paranormal. Nita's got a poltergeist in her house and hopefully she's going to tell us all about it. So that's between 11 and 12 in the third hour of the programme. But let me introduce right now for you my first guest. I'll tell you a little about him. After an initial UFO encounter in November 1980, Nigel Mortimer spent the past 26 years actively involved in research and investigation of the paranormal. He has journeyed along a personal life quest and in order to seek out possible answers to many unexplained questions regarding close encounter experiences. This has taken him away from traditional ET hypothesis and along an exploration of spiritual growth in which he has developed communications with celestial beings which he believes are closely linked with human spiritual development. During that time he was director of investigations for Bufora, worked on some of the UK's most interesting UFO cases, including an in-depth research into the window area at Yorkshire's Ilkley Moor. In the past 10 years, he has channeled information relating to historic truths through his guide Sharlek, and by the help offered from this celestial, Nigel hopes to reveal a hidden history different to the one being currently taught. This will enable everyone to acknowledge why we are all equal beings. Nigel uses psychic means and is currently exploring the mysteries surrounding Roslyn Chapel and the Holy Grail, and evidence for cultural links with the ancient Egyptians in Ireland. In his working life, Nigel is a tutor, educating life skills to children and adults at a college in Yorkshire. Now, one of the reasons why I decided to get Nigel on the programme was he sent me an email, and he said that he'd been researching around Roslyn, and he believed that there was a sword buried somewhere in Roslyn that belonged to William Wallace, but before William Wallace it may have been owned by a Templar or something similar, and he believes that he inherited the sword. Now, what Nigel didn't know when he wrote that email to me was that I'd picked up and channeled virtually the same information with my friends Helen and Mike when we did a trip to Scotland about 2 years ago. Now, there were several other people in the group at the time, and we all picked up on exactly the same thing, and the funny thing was, in pretty much the same area as Nigel. So I was so intrigued, I thought I'd got to get him on the show. Nigel, good evening.
Good evening, Ross. Hi.
Thank you very much for joining me. And that was certainly strange, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I got the email back from you in response to giving you the information regarding the sword at Roslyn, I'll be honest with you, it didn't sort of shock me to some extent, because already, whether it was the guides working with me or not, I was picking up, you know, that you possibly would understand what I was talking about. It seemed almost as at the time I was actually typing the email up for you, that you would have some sort of idea of what I was talking about.
Well, as my listeners know, Nigel, I'm a firm believer in that people don't meet for coincidence. It happens for a reason. And I'm sure there's a reason you and I have met, because I think we're heading for the same sort of conclusions to the research.
Yeah, definitely. As you'll probably know yourself, Ross, these things don't just happen overnight, do they? They're sort of like little clues, coincidences, you know, sort of happenings that at first maybe they may seem isolated, you know, and happen over quite a while. But what I've found is, which I've explained to you previously, you know, before the programme, is that the resulting sort of quest that I'm currently on, really, looking into the mysteries around the Roslyn area, have accumulated really over the last maybe 10 years. But before that, when I first started really receiving messages via my channel guide, Sherlock, it seemed as if the important thing in all of this was really that I should be looking for truth. And the thing is, when I first started getting the channel message through to me, this was actually drummed into me quite strongly that I would not receive correct information unless I was able to understand what truth was and to be able to relate that truth, you know, in the correct way. That would mean don't embellish any information, don't try to, you know, change it or manoeuvre the information so that you would get the required results you may need from such quests. And I've always tried to do that, to be honest with you, and found that it's always like a two-way process. You stick to that route and you do get, you know, accurate information being given back to you.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Now, so many people do. They take the symbolism that we're given and they try and interpret it to make a meaning of their own. And, of course, that's very wrong. Now, another thing that intrigued me in your email was that you were saying you came away from Roslyn Chapel and were looking more towards Roslyn Glen. And, again, our research also took us there. You didn't by any chance stay at a bed and breakfast up there very close to Roslyn, did you?
Right. I was going to talk about that too shortly, and yes, I did.
Oh, God.
And funnily enough, this would be about 2 years ago when that happened. I don't know if I can mention the name of the... it was a country cottage, actually. It was very close to Roslyn Glen, on the opposite side of the glen from the chapel itself, called Gorton House.
That was where we stayed, Gorton House.
Right, well, there you go.
Now, don't tell me that you felt that the sword is in the grounds of Gorton House.
That's right. Did you speak to the owner at all at Gorton House?
Yes, we did, afterwards. We didn't know anything about it at the time. Now, I know Mike and Helen are listening this evening, because a lot of my listeners are going to think, no, this is all staged, it's got to be. Mike and Helen and I were discussing this on email over the course of the last few days, because I told them you were coming onto the programme.
Right.
And in fact, it was Mike Canaby who picked up on it first. He was the first person to mention it. And then I said, I don't think it's just William Wallace's sword. I believe it's a Templar sword that William Wallace inherited from the Knights Templars.
Right.
And that was the intriguing part about it. We then started discussing it, and the landlady of the bed and breakfast overheard us and said, oh, was that Wallace's sword you're talking about? We believe that's buried somewhere here. So I thought, oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. But it's not the only thing that's in the glen, is it?
No, that's right. To be honest with you, really what I need to explain to you is that we, you know, I'm sure you'll have the same sort of process happening from time to time when you go to these areas and try to, you know, open yourself up to the influences that are there. When I actually went to Roslyn Chapel a couple of years ago with another person that was interested in this, I was actually in the chapel and we were looking at, up on the higher level of the chapel, I was looking around at one or two paintings that were sort of in cabinets on show there, and all of a sudden both of us looked at this particular painting of Roslyn Glen, and suddenly in front of our eyes two blue lines appeared that were obviously, you know, spirit going straight across the painting.
Right, let me stop you there because we've got to take an ad break.
Right.
This is also intriguing because this, again, is in line with something that happened to myself with my group. So let's take a break. We'll come back. My guest is Nigel Mortimer. This is going to be an exciting one. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this.
Get interactive. Call us now on 0871 871 366 or email studio@nettalkradio.co.uk.
You can also text
85010. Type the word studio.
Leave a space, then your message. For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information. Behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents. At Clearview Digital Print, we understand how important your company image is. You want to attract new customers, stay ahead of the competition, and keep your costs down. We provide a high-quality, full-colour print and design service at prices and in quantities that allow you to stay competitive. No more boxes of out-of-date brochures, just an up-to-the-minute, high-quality, professional image in quantities to suit your budget. Call Clearview Digital Print today to book a consultation at your premises or arrange a visit to ours. If you mention this advert, we'll give you 20% off your first order. Call us now on 01392 361 383. That's 01392 361 383 to see how we can help your business succeed. Clearview Digital Print, keeping your business ahead.
If you love the paranormal, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, abductions, anything of that ilk, you should be a member of the above topsecret.com forum. The ATS forums contain the very best and the latest in news of the paranormal, and now That's Weird has its own forum within the ATS setup. So get on there now at abovetopsecret.com and see what you've been missing.
Could you present a show on NetTalk Radio? If you think you can talk without music for an hour each week, remain interesting and have a great personality, then send your idea for a show to ross@nettalkradio.co.uk. Experience isn't as important as a good voice and a great personality. You can make your show at home on your PC in MP3 format. These are voluntary positions that give you the chance to talk to the world on the UK's fastest growing internet-based talk radio station.
Dick, have fun quail hunting. Don't worry, I promise I won't touch the button. And remember, shoot anything that moves. Bye. Oh, God, this phone's never going to stop. Oval Office, W speaking. Yes? No, I do not want to be a guest on Ross Hemsworth's show. Now That's Weird. I spend my evenings on the Above Top Secret Forum making up conspiracy theories. Now, about Project Serpo. If you could bring me up to speed on...
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Yes, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Now That's Weird on a Friday night. First hour of the programme with me, Ross Hemsworth, and my guest, Nigel Mortimer. Now, we were talking before the break about the pictures and the blue lights by them at Roslyn Chapel. Just pick up from where you left off, if you would, Nigel.
Yeah, thanks, Ross. What basically happened was we saw these two lines of energy that just appeared across the top of the painting itself. And they were there for a few seconds, that's all, but it was enough time for me to know, you know, whereabouts this location sort of looked like, really, whereabouts these lines were positioned. So we decided to head off and check down into the glen itself, which is just to the east of the chapel. And I didn't know at the time that there was quite an interesting landmark there where these blue lines were positioned, which is Wallace's Cave. It's quite, you know, well known in the area, and there is some sort of historical reference to it being the hiding place of William Wallace, Braveheart, you know, in the time of his existence in the area, around the time of the Battle of Roslyn. But when I went down to that particular spot, you know, you look for clues that really relate to your questing and your journey looking for the answers to these things. And I wondered what these blue lines meant, obviously. All I kept getting through sort of channeled information to me was that this was an area that would give me another stepping stone, so to speak, within the Glen area, to the next part of the quest and to locate. I didn't know at that point, actually, that it was, you know, a sword that would possibly be found in the area. But what I did find was, quite amazingly, a symbol carved, which was obviously ancient, megalithic, right next to the walling that falls down from the cave floor down into the bottom of the ravine of the beck, of what almost looks like a clockwise spiral. It's about a foot in diameter, and there's two or three of these spirals up and down the actual glen itself. Well, this spiral was very, you know, well known to me ever since sort of the early 1980s when I first received my channeling from the guide I had, Sharlek. The symbol he gave me was this spiral.
That's amazing.
What I've found in the past is that whenever I'm, you know, looking for any of this information that comes via the psychic means, I do get this symbol to show me that I'm on the right track, and there it was.
Now, that Wallace's Cave, I remember very well, because I'm not a great one with heights, and it's a bit dodgy getting in and out of there, isn't it?
Well, to get to, yes.
I remember we had two people with us, two ladies, who were doing sound tests at the time, and we had them harmonising in the cave, because the acoustics in there were quite incredible, and I think it was designed with that in mind. And one of them was worse than me for heights, and we had so much trouble. I remember Mike Canopy almost carrying her out of that cave and trying to get across that stone. It was really quite funny.
You've got to be there to understand that, haven't you?
It is right, and if I can just describe it to my listeners, it is actually right on a cliff ledge with a massive drop.
You've got a foot, haven't you? You know, between the entrance of the cave, you could literally walk out and drop about 100 feet down into the ravine. You know, it is that sort of, well, I'd say pretty dangerous, really.
Well, it is. It's a sheer drop, isn't it? There's not even a sort of, you know, a curve to it. It's a sheer drop, and it's also quite slippery because it's often wet around there.
Where the English soldiers were actually led off that ravine straight into, you know, the foot of the beck, really. And you can understand how that could happen.
Yeah, exactly right. It's a very, very dangerous place. But such an incredible feeling in there, and the energies in there are immense, absolutely immense. And I'm sure it was used for other things, just not just William Wallace's hiding place.
No. The thing is, what you've got to understand as well is that, as you've mentioned, you know that where this ancient carving is positioned. I mean, it's not a place that has been put there for all to see. It's obviously, you know, in a place which is, like I say, quite inaccessible and very sort of dangerous areas to be at, and sit there carving such a symbol, which would have taken quite a bit of time. There must have been some, you know, quite important purpose behind that.
Hmm. Now, I thought for some time, Nigel, that the Holy Grail is not actually buried at Roslyn, and most of the holy artefacts aren't. But I do believe there are holy artefacts in Scotland and spread around. And one of the other things in your research that appealed to me was your links between Ireland, Scotland and ancient Egypt.
Right. I don't know if you know this, actually, Russell, if you noticed it when you were in the cave, just going back to it for a second, and, you know, it is so small you probably would miss it, but there is actually carved. It looks, I've had it dated by some was a local historian there, and he reckons it was definitely pre-Victorian, but there is an Eye of Horus, Egyptian Eye of Horus, carved into the roof of the cave.
I've got a feeling either I've got that on pictures from the camera, or Mike and Helen have. One of us, I'm sure, took a picture of that.
Right, so you've seen that. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. And also, we noticed that when you resonated a certain frequency inside that cave, it actually sends you back two notes, two completely different notes, which is quite unusual. I don't know if you tried that while you were there.
No, but I mean, it's very interesting what you're saying, because from my own research and through the channeling, I'll give you a little glimpse into whenever we first got into all of this back in the 80s. Obviously, I've mentioned to you, I thought that I was dealing with UFOs, you know, alien craft and flying saucers and such like. But it didn't take me very long to realise that whatever the mystery is, I'm not ruling out, don't get me wrong, that there aren't these, you know, intergalactic or extraterrestrial interdimensional craft visiting us. That could be a possibility. But in all the years, the 20-odd years of research in the phenomenon, I've seen no, you know, evidence to prove to me that that is the case. What I have seen is that there is definitely some source behind the phenomenon that people, you know, are experiencing. And what I saw, certainly back in 1980, which was an orange ball of light that appeared, it was a thing that was so close to me, you know, within sort of the energy of myself, it resonated, would be the word, with myself. In fact, when it disappeared from view when I watched it, it actually took a part of me with it. It felt such a sad loss when this thing was going away that I knew that whatever these things are, they are connected with us as human beings. Down the years, I mean, shortly after that, remember I'm looking at sighting reports and trying to equate them to being sort of craft controlled by aliens. But I started getting psychic experiences, which started, you know, pretty soon after the encounter. And one of those was a visionary experience I had where I was taken back to ancient Egypt. And I was quite amazed by this. It just happened one afternoon, middle of the afternoon, living at my parents' house at the time. And I was shown, which ties into what you're saying, I was shown actually some buildings being put together and constructed in a part of Egypt, which the blocks of stone, which you've heard before, were definitely being moved by, I mean, I heard this immense droning noise, which, even in the vision, it was quite startling. And I saw these blocks of stone, size of a car, being lifted off the ground by sound. And I do feel that that is a clue to a lot of this, that the vibrations, you know, which we all understand the spirit world works in that way, and even our own physical world works to some degree through vibrational rates. It is a mystery that we've, you know, that we have actually forgotten. we did have the ability, I'm sure, in the pre-ancient past to actually move objects by sound. And the clue in the cave could be, you know, just another one of these pointers to make us looking that way.
Indeed. Well, I believe that the sound frequency, this is what why we were doing that work up there with the two girls doing sound, was that we believe that that is a key, one of the keys of Rosslyn. But the interesting thing about Egypt is that I was regressed a little while ago by a friend of mine, and during that regression I stated that there was another son of Akhenaten, and this son was deformed in some way. He was hidden away from the world, and he's actually buried in Scotland in a golden chamber.
Wow.
Now, your links between Egypt and Scotland, again, they just sort of hit a note with me when I was reading your email, thinking this is just quite amazing, actually.
Well, about... Well, 4 years ago now, I was given channeled information about, again, it sort of all ties into, there have been books published, one by Lorraine Evans and such, on the supposed daughter of Akhenaten, Skota. She was supposed to be Akhenaten's oldest daughter, Meritaten, who was supposed to travel through Spain and, you know, founded the British race in Ireland. But I, in my channel information, there was always a bit of a, you know, it just didn't feel quite right, and I was told that it wasn't her, but it was one of Akhenaten's daughters. Now, I don't know if any of the listeners out there have read a recent book by Ralph Ellis called Skota, the Egyptian Queen of the Scots. He's gone into quite depth, you know, in-depth information about how it would be possible for our British race to be, you know, founded by these Egyptian immigrants who were part of an exodus from Egypt in the Amarna period. And it, as I say, I mean, I've documented information that was channeled to me about Skota, you know, actually turning up in sort of the Kerry area in Ireland at that time. And it's amazing to watch down the years now, the last sort of 3 years, that these researchers are coming out with this, you know, clarifying information that's been channeled to me previously. I just wish I'd have published it earlier, that's all, but there you go. But I'm in no shadow of a doubt. I have channeled Akhenaten himself as a soul group entity, and this was back in the 80s. The information I received points to that. I mean, it all does tie in, as you probably know, Ross. It does all go all the way back to... we're talking about Scotland and these, you know, the Holy Grail and the Lost Ark of the Covenant, these sort of mysteries. If you take it all the way back, we're looking at, you know, the monotheism of Akhenaten. Even that isn't quite right. And eventually historians will, I'm sure, you know, get around this and understand what really happened to transform, you know, the religions in Egypt at that time.
Mm. Well, you see, what a lot of people forget, Nigel, is that the Egyptians actually had a connection with Scandinavia as well. There was a bloodline that comes back from the Egyptians and from Israel to Scandinavia.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
of course,
it
was the Scandinavians that came to Scotland with the Norse invasions and the Vikings, and of course the Norse that went to France, which became the Normans, which invaded England. So there's a whole lot of history that actually ties us all to Egypt and Israel.
Yeah, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. I once read, I haven't got the reference to it at the moment, but I don't know if you've come across this, Ross, that actually in the British Museum, there is a stone that was found in Southern Ireland. I'm not sure of even the location now, but I did read it, and it's a Celtic sort of, I wouldn't say, it's a marker stone as such, about 2 or 3 feet high, that's kept on one of the floors in the museum, tucked away in a corner. And on the reverse, well, on the front side there are Ogham inscriptions, but on the reverse of it, there are ancient hieroglyphics, Egyptian hieroglyphics. It was dug up in a field in Southern Ireland. Now, as I say, I haven't got the reference to that, but I have read it, and hopefully if that is correct, well, it just gives more weight to what we you know, believe at this moment in time.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, isn't it? And it is strange, because we're not the only people working on this at the moment. You know, there's various other researchers that have been studying these links and finding their way back to Scotland. You know, for many years, people were looking for the Ark of the Covenant in Ethiopia, in Spain, in Portugal, places like that. All of a sudden, the Ark and the Holy Grail and various other things, they're all pointing towards Scotland.
That's right, yeah, definitely. And I do think it's through this link, you know, through Skota, through the Pictic races and also the, you know, Scotians that came from Ireland, that when you do trace it back, I do feel it's more important than it's just, you know, realising or finding out that we are probably ancestrally Egyptians. I think it's more to do with the knowledge that the Armanians at that time had gained about the true source of religion.
I think you're right. Now, we need to stop there because we're going into another break. My guest is Nigel Mortimer. He's talking about some of the work he's been doing in Scotland. We're also going to talk to him a little more about UFOs in just a moment. You're listening to me, Ross Hemsworth. This is Now That's Weird.
Call us now on 0871 871 3666 or email studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. You can also text 85010, type the word studio, leave a space, then your message. For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents. Could you present a show on Net Talk Radio? If you think you can talk without music for an hour each week, remain interesting and have a great personality, then send your idea for a show to ross@nettalkradio.co.uk. Experience isn't as important as a good voice and a great personality. You can make your show at home on your PC in MP3 format. These are voluntary positions that give you the chance to talk to the world on the UK's fastest growing internet-based talk radio station. The UK's most exciting French import, Lag Guitars, are now available from your local music store. There's a range of designs from the more traditional Jet models, through the hardtail Roxanne designs favoured by the Eagles of Death Metal, and of course the Floyd Rose-equipped Arcane models, as used by UK metal monsters Mendive. Lag Guitars are also available in regular, vintage and matte finishes, and use a selection of Lag, Dimarzio, Seymour Duncan and EMG pickups. The Lag Four Seasons acoustic guitars complement the electrics by offering a more natural, unplugged playing option. So call into your local music store and ask to see the great range of Lag guitars, or go online to www.lagguitars.co.uk to request your brochure and listen to South Street Live here on Net Talk Radio to find out how you can win a Lag guitar.
Dick, have fun quail hunting. Don't worry, I promise I won't touch the button. And remember, shoot anything that moves. Bye. Oh, God, this phone's never going to stop. Oval Office, W speaking. Yes? No, I do not want to be a guest on Ross Hemsworth's show, Now That's Weird. I spend my evenings on the above top secret forum, making up conspiracy theories. Now, about Project Serpo, if you could bring me up to speed...
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Yes, welcome back to the show. It's me, Ross Hemsworth. You are indeed listening to Now That's Weird. Now, I've got to apologise to a few of you who may have experienced a bit of a dropout a few minutes ago. We had an ADSL cut here. Unfortunately, as my regular listeners know, we decided to take a very rural property in Somerset a little while ago. And since we've been here, we've been dogged by problems with ADSL and broadband. We are trying to resolve it, so apologies if it sports your enjoyment. But it was only for about a minute and a half, I think, of the last half an hour. So I do apologise and hope it doesn't happen again. We've rebooted all the routers and everything while the outbreak was on, so hopefully we've sorted the problem out, and bear with us, as they say. Now, my guest is Nigel Mortimer. We've been talking about some very similar research him and I have been doing in Scotland, and I want to move on just away from that for a moment, and we will come back to it, Nigel, but I want to talk about your UFO experience. Now, it says in your biography that you're a member of BUFORA, and Lionel Fanthorpe, the head of BUFORA, is a regular guest on the programme. Tell us what got you into UFO research.
Well, Ross, to be honest with you... None of this was intentional the last 26 years or so, to be honest. You know, it was a bolt out of the blue, really, to become involved in anything like this. I'd always been, in my younger life, a little bit sceptical and thought most of the people out there that saw flying saucers were maybe, you know, just a little bit strange. But I was a costing clerk working in the Wharfdale town of Otley at the time.
You were accosting a clerk?
Sorry?
Did you say you were accosting a clerk? Sorry, I've got a wicked sense of humour. I do apologise. Carry on.
Yeah, yeah, but... obviously, you know, it's quite a boring, sensible job, to be honest with you, back then in my 20s. And it was quite strange. I woke up in the early hours of one morning and looked out of the window. I don't know if you've heard of the top-secret NSA base, Menwith Hill.
No,
North Yorkshire. Well, there have been a fair few UFO encounters around that area. They seem to have a particular interest in what's going on at the base. And, as I say, I looked out the window towards where this was and saw this, what I could only describe as like the sun, really, at 1 o'clock in the morning on November, you know, middle of November, which just doesn't happen normally.
This isn't near Filingdales, is it?
Sorry?
This isn't near Filingdales in Yorkshire, is it, the Filey camp?
It's not Filingdales. It's actually similar to Filingdales, but it's based more, but it's only about 6 or 7 miles, funnily enough, from Ilkley Moor, one of the, you know, the hottest of the UFO window areas in the country.
Right, got you. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, carry on, yeah.
Yeah, and as I watched this object appear, you know, it looked like the sun, I just sort of mesmerised by it. Watched it for a few seconds, and then it just seemed to sort of hover over a field behind the house and then shoot away. When it did, this was the strange thing, as I mentioned earlier, it was just like, I mean, the only feeling I've ever had in my life since it was as if I'd lost somebody very close to me. It was a very empty feeling within myself, as if, you know, whatever it was, this object, it observed me, knew me, and was taking a part of me away with it. It was very strange. Even stranger was I went to work the next day, and the first person that I spoke to in the offices where I worked came up to me and said, Nigel, she says, you're never going to guess. She says, my mother woke up in the early hours on Sunday morning and saw this strange ball of light over Ockley near where you live. Now, you would have thought, you know, that I would have remembered that, wouldn't you? You'd have thought, well, you know, I had a reply and said, yeah, I saw the object too. But I didn't. I just complete blank to me. It was just like somebody was telling me that first hand and I'd never heard about it before.
How amazing.
When I got home that evening, on the Evening Post newspaper, Yorkshire Evening Post, with the headlines, Police Chase UFO into North Yorkshire. And I read through this article, it was all about the police chasing this orange object up towards North Yorkshire. It left them at 90 odd miles an hour. And,
I'm sorry, but you know what I said about my sense of humour? I'm just getting the picture in my mind at the moment, Nigel, the police trying to pull this thing over. You know, you can't go shooting your UFO around at that speed here.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Pull over, please.
Probably, yeah, you know, you had some sort of speed trap waiting for it, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I've been chasing a UFO, they're not going to win that one, are they?
No, definitely not, no, no. I see your point, though. when I read the headlines in the paper again, you know, all I did was spoke to my mother and someone said, oh, do you know what, I said, somebody at work had said they'd seen this object, you know, and I just didn't realise at that point I had any involvement in it whatsoever. But when I went up into the bedroom, after I'd had my tea, to get changed, I looked on the window ledge, and it was just an ornament that I must have moved to get a better view out of the window, that suddenly, just like a tape recorder, a video recorder being played back, the whole experience just flooded back into my memory. Mm. What I'd seen and how I felt. And this was what intrigued me. That's what really got me into UFOs. It's not so much the sightings that people have. It's what happens to people. You know, how they feel at the time, how these things interact with them, and why was it that this object, whatever it was, didn't want me to remember until a certain time? And it was like a trigger mechanism. You know, something had happened in the experience that made me suddenly remember, you know, the whole experience.
Mm. Well, I've had so many guests on the show that have reported very similar things when they've had encounters in one way or another. And in fact, Nick Pope, the former UFO officer for the British government, was on the programme last week talking about this and saying about how there have been so many reports now. And I remember Nita Grant saying, the last time she was on, and she's on later again tonight, saying about the alpha brainwave patterns changing after somebody had been abducted by aliens.
Yeah, that's right. I do think it has a definite... I mean, the way of measuring that is to look at the person themselves, the witness, and see how, you know, it has an influence on their life, how they change. I can only go by... Well, I can't just go by my own account. If I'd have left it where I didn't get involved in UFO research, luckily enough, I took the steps to send my report to Jenny Randalls, you know, at the time, the ufologist and author of UFOs in Britain. And... she was very good. She actually put me in touch with other people that had similar experiences. So very quickly, I was able to put two and two together, you know, and really...
Cool. Yeah. No, I'm going to have to stop you there again, Nigel, because we've got to hit another ad break, unfortunately. We'll come back and we'll talk some more about this in a moment. My guest is Nigel Mortimer. If you've got any questions for him, get them in now. studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Ross Hemsworth. This is Now That's Weird.
What program do you want to listen to?
That one.
But that's Ross Hemsworth's paranormal program.
Hello.
But you said that science proves that the paranormal is has a series of rational and logical explanations, therefore denying its existence.
Yeah, I know.
So why do you want to listen to Ross Hemsworth?
Because I'm weird.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is James Arthur Janczyk, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, inviting you to join me on a road to truth via the path of non-contradiction. Join us each week on Feet to the Fire, a show with the goals of examining a subject matter on its own merits and test how it stands up to the many possibilities found in reality, all without pre-drawn conclusions found in personal bias. No left or right wings here. No pounding the pulpit of ego-driven my way or the highway attitudes. But there are no free passes given either. Answers to questions are important, but equally important is the reasons and methods used to find the answer. The lack of contradiction is the final judge here. On Feet to the Fire. Feet. Saturday evenings. 2. 7 p.m. GMT. On NetTalk Radio. Talk radio for the internet generation.
Contact Will Sign Western Limited for all your visual promotional requirements. Exterior and interior signage, vehicle graphics, large format printing and exhibition stands, corporate clothing and promotional gifts. We can also offer small building works, general repairs and maintenance, refurbishments and extensions. For a professional service, ring Will Sign Western Limited now on Exeter 204-104. That's Exeter 204-104.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now That's Weird.
Now, talking of weird, coming up next week on the show, I've got Trevor Jones and Dr. Liz Williams joining me here live in the studio throughout the whole programme, talking about a brand new programme that starts in a couple of weeks' time called The Witching Hour. They're both witches and druids, and they run a shop called The Witchcraft Shop in Glastonbury, and they're going to be doing a one-hour show every Wednesday night, Thursday morning at midnight. It's going to be live, and it's all going to be about witchcraft, Wiccan, paganism and druidry, and they're going to be here live with me throughout the whole of next week's show, interacting with my other guests and talking about the programme, so that's going to be real good fun. Make sure you tune into that. With me tonight is Nigel Mortimer. Nigel, welcome back.
Okay.
Hi, coming back to the situation with UFOs. Now, I was much the same as yourself. I was somebody that didn't believe in UFOs. I felt that there was a rational or logical explanation to all of them. Although I've come to think now that we might be dealing with multi-dimensional beings.
That's right, yeah. The trigger point for that wasn't the initial sightings I've mentioned. I mean, that just got me into really in reading every book I possibly could and doing as much investigation and research as I could at the time. Which I'm glad it is, because it gave me, you know, as much information that I think I needed to realise that we're not dealing with, you know, even a number of specific types of alien entity. I always felt it's quite egotistic to think that any life form that probably would want to, you know, come and visit this planet, in the sort of traditional flying saucer sense, would be like ourselves for a start. I mean, there's so many different types of life form on this planet, you know, that to think that you're going to get something that looks humanoid, you know, whether it's the greys or the robotic looking things or whatever, you know, it just seemed quite egotistic for us to think that. Mm-hmm. I would imagine some sort of alien form to be totally different to us. But I had a trigger point in my life in the mid-80s where while I was researching various accounts from all over the world, basically, I met a person at a place called Keighley in West Yorkshire, and to cut a very long story short, she knew, she was psychic, obviously, and she knew that I was actually looking into this orange ball of light phenomena. I was writing a short booklet on it at the time, and she came across to me at a psychic meeting I'd attended, and said to me, do you mind if I have a chat with you afterwards? And she drove me back to where I lived, and I thought she was going to drop me off at the house, suddenly turned off and took me up to this reservoir on the way to Skipton in North Yorkshire. We parked up in the car, and then all of a sudden, an intense white light just appeared in the car, just like daylight, and I mean, this was in the evening, so it was quite dark outside. Light appeared, and then I just felt drawn to look at her face, and a transmogrification appeared on her face, you know, just sort of, was almost like an envelope over the front of her. It was a typical, what you might call a grey being. You know, there's me there thinking, one minute, I don't really think there are any aliens out there, and I'm looking within a couple of feet away from me at this this form that had appeared there with the big black eyes and the domed head. But it was different in that it was all red and golden and glowing. It didn't look like you sort of, you know, grey, dull humanoid being that we usually see in, like, the X-Files movies. When I sort of, you know, sort of came to my senses and started to sort of, you know, I was quite shocked and frightened by what I was seeing. I noticed that the lips were trying to move on this whatever it was, this entity. And then I was so scared, I just sort of broke away from her and tried to get out of the door of the car.
Yeah, I think that would do it for me as well, actually.
Yeah, quite frightening, really, in
a
way.
Indeed.
So there was always a sense that although I was watching this, I was, you know, being made aware that I shouldn't be like that. It was a strange scenario.
Hmm.
She actually told me, she actually tried this two or three times, to be honest with you. She kept telling me that there was a message that whatever was the source of these beings, they wanted to, you know, give this message to me and help me with the work I was doing. She did say, which has always been with me, and it hasn't happened yet, thank God, but I don't know if it's happened yet. I haven't yet to have come across the situation, but she did say to me that one day I will meet these beings in the flesh, so to speak. So, you know, when that does happen, it could be quite a shock.
Could be yet to come, as they say. Now, you mentioned, and we've got about a minute and a half before the next break, so we need to make this reasonably rapid, but you mentioned in your notes that you rediscovered a lost stone circle. Whereabouts was this, and why was it important to you to find its location again?
Right. Well, what's happened is that most of the sightings that take place in the sort of north of the country, we all know about the Bonny Ridge sightings in Scotland. Well, very similar to that, there have been numerous sightings for hundreds of years now around Ilkley in West Yorkshire. You know, the famous Ilkley Moor, more traditionally known as a sort of tourist leisure spot. But when you look at the history of it, it's had sightings, I mean, going back to pre-Roman times, there's accounts of fiery dragons and things like that. So I started investigating the sightings there and realised that the majority of these were taking place above the many ancient sites. The Ilkley Moor's only about 6 square miles across. You're talking about 200 carved, you know, cup and ring marked rocks and stone circles and things. It's just inundated with them. There seems to be this sort of strange connection, which I've found down the years, between these stone circle sites and what we call the ball of light type UFOs.
Hmm.
One of the amazing cases, which is yet to be published, and it's in quite a few of my booklets and CDs I've written, is the case that a famous stone that's on the Moors called the Swastika Stone.
All right, let's stop you there, because we need to go to another break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about this, because I was going to ask you about that next. My guest is Nigel Mortimer. If you've got any questions for him, get them in now. studio@nettalkradio.co.uk.
Call us now on 0871 871 3666 or email studio@nettalkradio.co.uk. You can also text 850 10 type the word studio. Leave a space, then your message. For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information. Behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents. At Clearview Digital Print, we understand how important your company image is. You want to attract new customers, stay ahead of the competition, and keep your costs down. We provide a high-quality, full-colour print and design service at prices and in quantities that allow you to stay competitive. No more boxes of out-of-date brochures, just an up-to-the-minute, high-quality, professional image in quantities to suit your budget. Call Clearview Digital Print today to book a consultation at your premises or arrange a visit to ours. If you mention this advert, we'll give you 20% off your first order. Call us now on 01392 361 383. That's 01392 361 383 to see how we can help your business succeed. Clearview Digital Print, keeping your business ahead.
If you love the paranormal, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, abductions, anything of that ilk, you should be a member of the above topsecret.com forum. The ATS forums contain the very best and the latest in news of the paranormal, and now That's Weird has its own forum within the ATS setup. So get on there now at abovetopsecret.com and see what you've been missing.
Could you present a show on NetTalk Radio? If you think you can talk without music for an hour each week, remain interesting and have a great personality, then send your idea for a show to ross@nettalkradio.co.uk. Experience isn't as important as a good voice and a great personality. You can make your show at home on your PC in MP3 format. These are voluntary positions that give you the chance to talk to the world on the UK's fastest growing internet-based talk radio station.
Dick, have fun quailhunting. Don't worry, I promise I won't touch the button. And remember, shoot anything that moves. Bye. Oh, God, this phone's never going to stop. Oval Office, W speaking. Yes? No, I do not want to be a guest on Ross Hemsworth's show. Now That's Weird. I spend my evenings on the Above Top Secret Forum making up conspiracy theories. Now, about Project Serpo. If you could bring me up to speed on...
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Yes, welcome back to the show. Coming up towards the end of the first hour, my guest is Nigel Mortimer, and we're talking about UFOs and strange phenomena in Scotland, in and around Rosslyn. Now, the swastika stone. Tell us a little about that, Nigel.
Yeah, the swastika stone is, it's an ancient carving. It predates the Bronze Age, and to be honest, the archaeologists have no idea how old it is. It's so weathered now that they've had to actually make a new copy of it in situ by the rock on the Addingham Moorside part of Ilkley Moor. There's only three of this actual design, because although it's really similar to the early sort of Buddhist swastika symbols, it's got a strange on its sort of left bottom arm, a hoop-like, almost like an Egyptian sort of hook. And there are only, as I say, three of these symbols anywhere in the world. Now, I looked into this when I read this account, and they're situated, one's in southern Italy and the other one's in Scandinavia, in Norway. The one in Scandinavia, funnily enough, was actually carved on a fjord when it was 200 feet underwater. So work that one out. The one on Ilkley Moor, when you connect them up to these other two with a globe, you've got to do this with an actual proper globe. You can't do it on a flat map of the world, but with an actual representation of the Earth, it makes an equilateral triangle, the equidistant within about 200 to 300 metres. So there's something quite amazing about this symbol. And this is the thing that's never been published before, which through our own research at the time, the group I represented, Contact UK, we actually found out that the swastika stone itself, that actual design with the arm, you know, this strange arm coming off the bottom left part of the swastika. Most researchers of ufology will have heard of George Adamski, the sort of first ever American contactee who claimed in the Californian deserts to have encountered beings from other worlds, Venus and such like, that took away photographic plates, and when they brought them back to him, there are all sorts of strange hieroglyphic type symbols on them. And on one of them, in his book, Flying Saucer Landed, if you have a look on the photograph on there, there is an exact copy of the swastika stone symbol.
Mm.
This one that's only found in 3 places anywhere in the world. Now, as far as I know, unless anybody can actually tell me any different, and this has been really researched quite thoroughly, George Adamski never ever came to Oakley Moor. He only ever came to Scotland to give a short lecture there. So I wouldn't imagine he would know, you know, of this UFO connection and all these sightings in the Oakley Moor area when he was given this information back in the 1950s.
Now, the other thing, of course, Nigel, is that the swastika itself was part of, obviously, the Third Reich. And we were talking to Philip Gardner on the show recently, and he believes that Hitler and his crowd had a very strong interest in gaining a lot of ancient artifacts. And he was taken out to Berlin recently to follow up a lead he had on something he was doing with the Ark of the Covenant. And he was taken to a small cafe, into a back room where there were pictures of Hitler on the wall and Hess and God knows who else. All these fair-haired guys with blue eyes there, part of a little club, basically, that had this information. So there appears to be a connection, doesn't there?
Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm sure, you know, if you look at the psychic connection with the Nazis, they were doing probably what I do believe myself, although I've not researched this thoroughly enough to be satisfied 100%, but I'm sure the Americans, any leading superpower that knows, the whole thing that we really need to think about here is that, and this is what's come through in my channel and my interest, how it's developed over the years, is that we've all been fed, to be quite honest with you, an alternative history, you know, one that diverts us all away from the truth of how we originated and what we really are. And once you find out, as I mentioned, as you did in the introduction at the beginning, when you realise what the truth is behind this, we're all equal beings. And the problem there is that once we all realise we're equal, your sort of government and people in power, you know, just do not have that positioning anymore. It just dissolves and falls away. But that is how it should have been. There was never, kingship is nothing about, you know, one domineering power over another. It's equality.
Exactly. Well, we've run out of time, Nigel. It's gone by so quickly. I think we need to get you back on the show again soon to talk some more on this. But just very quickly, I don't believe you've got a website at the moment, so give people a contact address where they can reach you.
Right. If anybody is interested, most of the information that we talked about tonight, I do produce, as I say, in a CD and a DVD that's coming out very shortly called The Circle and the Sword. It's the full history of my own sort of progression and also the insights into this new sort of Ireland and Scotland connection. So if somebody is interested in getting a copy of that from me, they can email me at Sharlek, Sharlek, at blueyonder.co.uk. I'll send them all the details on via the email. If they haven't got the email, if they want to write to the address, which is 86 Greystones Drive, Keighley, West Yorkshire.
That's brilliant.
BD22 7 a.m. I'm quite happy to give them any information that they'd like to further this with.
That's fantastic. Nigel, thank you so much for joining us on the programme this evening. We will definitely talk to you again very, very soon.
Thank you very much indeed, Ross. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Cheers now.
Okay, all the best.
Bye-bye. That's Nigel Mortimer there. And don't forget, coming up in Hour 3, we've still got Nita Grant joining us on the programme. And in Hour 2, it's your chance to get interactive with me. So anything at all you want to talk about in Hour 2, Elizabeth not feeling too well, so it's just you and me, the listeners. Or is it me and you, the listeners? That's more like it, isn't it? Studio at nettalkradio.co.uk. Drop us a line now. Put your phone number in there if you fancy coming on the show, and I'll give you a call.
FSN in Brussels, I'm Nina Maria Potts with the latest world news. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan has announced a deal with Sudan's government allowing more peacekeepers into the Darfur region. Correspondent Nathan King, who's in Ethiopia where the talks are taking place, says the apparent deal will be phased in over time.
In talks that went late into the night in Addis Ababa, the Sudanese government have agreed in principle to an expanded peacekeeping force for the Darfur region of the country, while Sudan have immediately accepted an expanded support package from the United Nations to the African Union force on the ground of about 1,000 personnel. These people won't be soldiers. They'll help with the current African Union force on the ground of about 7,000.
The French Socialist Party's presidential candidate, Ségolène Royal, is promising to change France if she becomes the country's first female head of state. Ms. Royal won with more than 60% of the vote, avoiding a second round. The 53-year-old mother of four is widely expected to face centre-right hopeful Nicolas Sarkozy in the April presidential election. In Iraq, reports say four Americans and one Austrian have been kidnapped from a civilian convoy of 19 vehicles operated by a Kuwait-based security service. Unconfirmed reports say the attack happened at a fake checkpoint and nine other civilians were released. U.S. President George W. Bush arrived in Hanoi earlier for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, only the second visit to Vietnam by a U.S. president in the past 30 years. Security issues are expected to feature high on the agenda at the traditionally economic-based forum. Asia correspondent Sam Beattie reports.
U.S. President Bush was to meet with communist Vietnamese leaders to celebrate their country's impending entry into the World Trade Organization. He was also to meet regional leaders, including six-party talk members, to create a united front against North Korea's nuclear proliferation. Diplomats say a group announcement may be released on Sunday after the summit ends. APEC has traditionally been an economic forum for 21 Pacific region countries, but security issues are becoming more prevalent in the discussions. Experts say a free trade agreement between member states will be high on the agenda. The 21 APEC nations account for nearly half of the world's trade and generates around 60% of the world's GDP. Sam Beattie reporting.
In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the losing presidential candidate says he will contest the official election results in the courts. Jean-Pierre Bemba says he cannot accept the official outcome, which showed President Joseph Kabila capturing 60% of the vote to Mr. Bemba's 40%. David Potty, the Carter Center, says the group's observers found the election to be fair.
It would appear that the results as announced reflect, at the very least, the final order in terms of first and second, and that though there are irregularities, to be sure, it's certainly not our sense at this time that they're going to be of such a magnitude or of such a distribution as to alter the order of the results.
This is FSN.
Thank you for listening to my podcast. As it turns out, there are a lot of you out there, so the bandwidth is getting a little expensive for me. If you like my show, help me keep it on the air. Go to my podcast page at weird-stuff.podomatic.com and click on my tip jar. PayPal me a dollar or two. It's easy, and I would really appreciate it. If you like, I can mention your name during my next show.